to Titus 2, verse 11 this morning. And I just really felt led to kind of go here and look at this thing. Look at Titus 2, verse 11. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Let's read it together. Titus 2:11. Ready? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. You know, I love that phrase, the grace of God. Say that phrase with me. The grace of God. That phrase is used 23 times in your Bible. In your Bible, the grace of God is mentioned 23 times. Now, all but six of those references are directly related to the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book of Titus and who gave us 13 books of the New Testament. And your handout is a very simple definition of grace, and I want to give it to you. Grace simply means that I receive freely what I don't deserve. What word do I have bolded right there? Freely. That's right. That's the emphasis. Grace is I receive freely what I don't deserve. You have a bill that's due. Let's say, for instance, so we all pay bills, right? Tax time's coming up. Well, that's a bummer, isn't it? But we all got bills. Now, if I'm late on a bill and they give me some extra time to pay it, that's called a what? You got it. A grace period. The bill's due. They've got every right to demand it. But they freely give me a grace period. Okay? I'll give you another illustration. You violate a rule at work, and that should result in termination according to the policy manual. But your boss calls you in and says, you know what? I'm going to give you grace. You receive freely another chance. He could bring judgment. He could terminate you. But he says, I'm going to give you grace. Would you say that's good news? Amen? How about this one? Can most of us relate to this? You're doing 50 miles per hour in a 35 mile per hour zone. And all of a sudden you see this. See the blue lights. And the policeman pulls you over. He comes up to your window. He says, sir, ma'am, do you realize you were doing 50 in a 35 mile per hour zone? And you either tell the truth and say yes, or you lie and say, no, I didn't realize it. But he says, well, regardless, I clocked you at 50, and you're in a 35 mile per hour zone. And then he says these words. You know, sir or ma'am, I could write you a ticket, but I'm going to give you grace this time. Whew! We try not to show our emotion, right? But inside, we're leaping for joy. Why? Because he's going to give us freely what we don't deserve. A marvelous demonstration of grace is found in Titus 3. Go over to chapter 3 and look at verse 3. He is describing Christians before they knew the Lord. And he's describing, really, mankind. Titus 3:3. For we ourselves also were sometimes, notice the description of mankind, foolish, disobedient, we've all disobeyed God, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, boy, this is where it gets good. After that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Oh, glory! Woo! That's grace! When you and I are full of hate, and we've all been hateful. I said we've all been hateful. We've all been hateful. We've all had hateful times and moments in our life. We've all probably in here hated people from time to time in our life. And we've been full of animosity and malice and envy and hatefulness towards people. We've served diverse lusts and pleasures, and we've lived for the pleasure of the moment, even though we knew it was wrong, and we had lustful thoughts, and we did lustful actions, and we've all sinned against God, and we've disobeyed, and we deserve judgment. But even though we deserve judgment for our sin, Titus 3:4 says that God is extending love, He's extending kindness, and He's extending His grace to mankind. Is this grace available to only an exclusive group? Go back to Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who? Say it again. all men. In your handout, it says, God is offering salvation from sin's penalty and sin's power, and this offer is to... Does it say that in the handout? Oh, okay. Only three people said it, so I was wondering if it was there. I got it bolded for you so we can bring it out. It says that God's offering, He's offering salvation. Titus 2:11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. In your handout it says this incredible offer of salvation, it's based upon His grace, according to that verse. According to that verse, it's all rooted in it. The only reason why you and I can be saved from the penalty of our sin is because of the grace of God. Can I hear an amen? It's the grace of God. Did you know, church, that He's offering His grace to all men? But it wasn't always this way. God did not always offer His grace indiscriminately to all men everywhere equally. What I want to do this morning is I want us to understand the grace of God that He's offering today. And in order to get you to understand and appreciate the grace that He's offering, I want to take you back, and it's the page number, if you're using the Pew Bible, is in the front of your handout there at the top. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter number 2. And I want everybody to turn there, and I want you to have your pen or your pencil ready. I'm going to do something I rarely do. I'm going to give you my whole outline here before at the beginning of the message. And I want you to get your pen ready, and I want you to get your pencil, whatever you use, and use your Bible. Don't be afraid to mark in it. Don't be afraid to make notes. Don't be afraid to circle or underline things. Now, of course, if it's the Pew Bible, you might not want to because it's not yours. But, but if you've got your own Bible, you may want to do that. Now, there's three key phrases in Ephesians 2 that lay out a natural timeline for us that's going to explain to you and me the grace of God. Now, here they are. You ready? I want you to circle or underline these three phrases. Verse 11, Ephesians 2:11, he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in..." What's the next two words? I want you to circle those two words. It's very important that you get this, okay? Time past. Time past. God's going to talk about time past and talk about how He operated in time past. But now go down to verse 13. What are the first two words? Okay, so Paul now moves forward to "but now." Circle those two words. So you got time past, then he fast forwards, he says, okay, but now, present tense, where we are right now. And now if you look down at verse 7, we've got the third key phrase. It's going to lay out a timeline, natural timeline in this chapter to explain to you the grace of God. Verse 7, that in the, what's the next three words? There you go, that's future, ages to come. Circle or underline that. Three key phrases. Let's review. What are they? Number one, time past. Number two, number three. All right, let's look at time past. God's going to explain to you how He operated with this world in time past. Look with me in your handout, and I want you to get this statement. In time past, God made a covenant with the nation of Israel. Now, I want you to look with me at verse 11 after you write that in. Look at verse 11. "Wherefore remember," he's writing to Gentiles. Okay, remember, you've got Israel, then you've got all the Gentile nations. He's writing to the Gentile nations. He says, "Remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands." Now, here's what I want you to explain. There was a division there in time past between God's people. In the Old Testament, God said He was going to work through a nation of people, the nation of Israel. Those were His chosen people. And you'll remember that God made a covenant with them, and He gave it to them through Moses. And you remember that part of that covenant, just a small part of it, were the Ten Commandments. Well, God made a covenant. What's that? It's an agreement. God made an agreement with the nation of Israel. And within that agreement and within that covenant were some glorious promises. And God promised them a Redeemer. God promised Israel He would send them a Redeemer. That He would send them a Christ. He would send them a Messiah that was going to come, going to set up an earthly kingdom for them, and that kingdom would endure forever. God said that He was going to come. There would be a king. And of course, we know that's Christ. There would be a king that would come, sit on a throne, and He would reign forever. And the nation of Israel would be a kingdom of priests unto Him. And through their knowledge of God and their knowledge of the Redeemer and their knowledge of the Christ, they would take those blessings and take that knowledge and they would extend themselves as a blessing to all nations. They would help the pagan Gentile nations to understand God, understand the Redeemer, understand how God works. See, they would teach the Gentile nations through their knowledge of God. That was the plan in time past. So in your handout, it says, if you were a Jew in time past, and here's what it meant. It meant that you received covenants of promise from God. You had covenants of promise. There were some promises God made to you. Number two, you lived in hope of a Redeemer who would one day deliver you. If you were a Jew, you know what you were looking for? You're looking for the Redeemer. You're looking for the Messiah. You're looking for the Christ. You're looking for the one who is going to come, who is going to make it possible for all the sins of Israel to be remitted, to be forgiven, and then God would establish a new covenant with them, and He would give them peace on the earth from all their enemies. And so if you're a Jew in time past, then you've got the hope of a Redeemer. There's a Redeemer coming! There's a Messiah coming! And He's going to come and give us an earthly kingdom of peace. He's going to remit our sins. And He's going to put His Spirit in us. And so you had those promises. So you had that covenant. You had that hope. Now, not only that, next thing there in your handout, you had God's Word. If you were a Jew, you had God's Word given through Moses and the prophets. You were not without God. You had God's Word. You knew what was on the mind and the heart of God because you got His Word. Now, in your Bible, look at verse 12. He's describing here the Gentile nations. He's comparing them with Israel in time past. Look what he says about the Gentile nations, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ. He said you didn't have a promise of a Redeemer. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. The Gentiles didn't have any covenants or any promises. Having no hope and, what's the next two words? Without God in the world. So, in your handout, it says that the Gentile nations in time past, they did not have any of these advantages. They did not have any of these advantages that the Jews had. Now, you say, Pastor Dan, why is that? Well, I'm going to bring up on the screen here a chart that I'm going to be referring to off and on throughout the message. And I'm going to be honest with you. My goal this morning is I want to skim the surface a little of this thing and then tonight get more in depth. Okay? So for those of you that really want to know more, come back tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll get more in depth. But I want to kind of give you a surface understanding of how God's working today and the grace that's available. So what I want you to see in this timeline, and I know for some of you that's little, this chart, by the way, the full chart will be on the web tomorrow, and you can download it. But you'll notice in time past, Israel received covenants of promise, the hope of a Redeemer, the Word of God. But now here's the Gentile nations. You know why they didn't have any promises or covenants? Because according to Romans 1, they were given over to idolatry. Instead of worshiping the Creator, they worship the creature. They worship themselves. They worship their money. They worship their things. All the Gentile nations were given over to paganism and to idolatry. When they had the truth about God, they rejected it and decided to make their own gods. And so the Gentile nations were given over to idolatry without hope. So what does God do? God says, okay, I'm going to have a people that are going to show forth my name to all these nations. And that people was Israel. And I'm going to make them some promises. And I'm going to give them a Redeemer. And I'm going to give them my Word. And through their testimony and their witness and their light, they're going to be a blessing to all these heathen pagan nations. Now that was the plan in time past. But in verse 13, notice what he says. He just told you in verse 12 the sorry state of the Gentiles. But verse 13 begins with two precious words. Say them with me. But now. That means there's a change that's taken place. There's a change. God isn't operating today like He did back here in time past. This plan was a good plan. And by the way, ultimately one day it'll be fulfilled, but the plan was set aside. This plan for Israel in time past, God set that plan aside temporarily. You say, Pastor Dan, why did God do that? I mean, that sounds like a pretty good plan. God's going to have a nation. He's going to redeem them. He's going to forgive them. And then they're going to be a witness and a testimony to all the nations and be a blessing and give light and knowledge to... What's wrong with that plan? Nothing wrong with the plan. It's the people. Because in your handout, look at it with me. If you'll turn your handout over, at the very top, look what it says. Here was the problem. Here's why God set the plan aside. John 1:11, that He is Christ. Christ came unto His own. Now, who was His own people? Tell me. Israel, the Jews. He came unto His own. But notice the problem here. His own what? Yeah, you know what they did? They said, crucify Him. We don't want Him. We don't believe He's our Redeemer. We don't believe He's our Messiah. Away with Him. Give us Barabbas. And so the Roman government and the Jews took Him and they crucified Him. And so then God gives them another chance and God offers them that new covenant. He says, I'll remit your sins if you'll repent and if you'll turn to Me. Israel said, no, we don't want this Christ. We don't want this Redeemer. We don't believe in Him. They rejected Him. In your handout, it says that they Israel rejected their Redeemer. They rejected this offer that God had made to them and promised them, this covenant. They rejected the covenant, the new covenant. So, church, look up here. What would be God's response to this rejection? Now, do you understand, right now, if we could bring the chart back up and if we could add that next click, do you realize the state of the world right now? You got the Gentile nations just given over to idolatry. You've got the people that were supposed to be the light and supposed to give knowledge of God. They were just rejected and had their Messiah crucified on a cross. Didn't want anything to do with Him. Now what? Well, I'll tell you what the now what is. According to prophecy in Psalm 2, and you can go back and study this out sometime, but you know what? You know what was supposed to happen right here? What was supposed to happen is that God was going to pour His wrath and His judgment on Israel and the nations who had all forsaken Him. They took His Son and said, we don't want Him. They took the Father's very Son and we took Him and we crucified Him. And it's as if the world declares war against God. Take that as we shake our fist at God who sends a Redeemer, sends a Savior, sends someone who's perfect and holy and sinless and said, we say, take that, God. We don't want Him. Well, when the world did that, it was prophesied God would pour His wrath. Next click. God would pour His wrath and His judgment on the earth. That God would bring an unprecedented time of wrath and judgment and punishment to this earth. You see, when this happened here, boom, the wrath was supposed to fall. Instead of that happening, God revealed a secret that He had kept hidden from the foundation of the world. Way back here from the foundation of the world, when God made this earth and all that's therein, there was a secret in the mind of God that He didn't tell anybody about. This prophetic program back here, the prophets spoke about it. Since that time past program right here, the prophets spoke about that, the Bible says, since the world began. But there was a secret in the mind of God, in the heart of God, He didn't tell anybody about. I wonder, is there anybody in here that can't keep a secret? You just can't keep a secret. I mean, when you hear something juicy, you just got to tell at least one person, you know. Now, I know all of you in here are thinking of somebody else, right? Not you. Yeah, I know somebody like that. But, you know, did you know God's not that way? Did you know God can keep a secret? And you better be glad He can keep a secret. Tonight we're going to look at that more in depth. But you better be glad. God kept a secret back here from the foundation. You say, well, man, I wish I knew what it was. I'm going to tell you. And I can't tell you because God revealed the secret. He's made it known. He made it known through the Apostle Paul what the secret was. And here's what the secret was. You ready for this? That when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He was not just dying for Israel's sins. He was dying for the sins of all mankind. He was dying for the sins of the world. He was dying for Jew and Gentile alike. And in your handout it says, based on the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross for sin, God, now, but now. See, God can legally and justly offer His grace and His forgiveness to every man without discrimination. Here's what I want you to see. Hidden in the mind of God back here, folks, before the foundation of the world. Listen, you saw the chart. When the world rejected His Son, the wrath of God was supposed to be poured out. But you know what God did? If we could bring the chart back up before you click it again. Instead of God pouring out the wrath, there was a secret way back here that God knew about. And that is this. Bring it up. God was going to offer a grace period to this world. Man, I don't know if you can appreciate that, but boy, I hope you can. I don't think Paul thought it would even last through his life. I think he thought it'd be a few short years, but then the wrath would fall. I'm glad to be able to tell you, God's been offering His grace to this world for 2,000 years. We've been living in this grace period. We've been, now remember, in a grace period, judgment's deserved. The bill's due. See? We've deserved His wrath for 2,000 years. But instead of God giving it, God has offered a grace period. And that's the but now. Look at verse 13, Ephesians 2:13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, you Gentile nations that were far off without hope, without God, you are now made nigh. You've been made near. How have we been brought near to God? Look at the end of the verse. It's by the what? Yeah, it's based on the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And through Paul was revealed that he was dying for the sins of the world. Every evil thought you've ever had, every evil deed you've ever done, every time you've disobeyed God, Jesus Christ was taking the punishment. He was making the payment of death for that sin. The wages of sin is death. You and I deserve death. We deserve separation from God, okay, forever. But yet Jesus Christ took our death. He took that penalty that you and I owe. And based on that atoning work for sin on the cross, based on that finished, completed work for sin, God says, you know what I'm going to do? Instead of pouring out my wrath, based on the atoning work of my Son, based on the fact that He took the sins of the world on Him, I'm going to offer my grace and I'm going to offer reconciliation to all my enemies in the world. All of us who are sinners, and the Bible says at enmity with God, God is offering us grace. He's offering us reconciliation. And this is where we're at right now. We're in the but now. You better be glad you're in the but now time period. And you know, I told the early service, I just wanted you to have, Lord, I just pray they'll have an appreciation for the but now that we live in right now. Because, look, folks, if it wasn't for this right here, every one of us would be incurring this right here. You understand that? Do you see that? You see, Paul received an all men, every man ministry. Why? Because it was revealed to him that Christ didn't just die for Israel's sins, He died for the sins of the world. And so Paul said He gave Himself a ransom for all. Now stay with me and don't lose me now. I'm almost done. We live in what the Bible calls the dispensation of grace. God, in your handout, it says God is freely dispensing His grace to anyone who will simply trust His Son as their Savior. I am glad to be able to stand before you and tell you this morning that sin has forever been dealt with on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know the only answer to sin is the cross? Do you understand that the cross is the focal point of all human history? Do you understand that you can go to church and have perfect attendance for 10 years and that you can still die in your sins? Do you understand that you can be dunked in water and it don't mean anything? I almost said nothing, but it don't mean anything. Do you understand you can be dunked in water and baptized, but it does not change the fact that you're a sinner? Do you understand that you can do religious good works and you can be a religious person and you can go to church and you can do religious rites and you can do religious rituals and you can do all that stuff? And do you understand that none of that stuff can deal with your sin? Do you understand this morning that God only has one remedy and answer for sin, and that is the cross work of His Son, Jesus Christ? That's it. That's it. That's the only remedy, that's the only answer for sin is the cross. You remember that? The answer for sin isn't you trying harder. The answer for sin isn't you pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and I'm going to turn over a new leaf so God will be happy with me. The only answer for sin is the cross work of His Son. Period. And God is offering, if we can come back to the chart, God is offering grace. Right now, He's offering grace and reconciliation, and it is through Christ. Look at verse 13 again. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, we are made nigh, we've been made near. Notice what the basis of it is. It's by the blood of Christ. Remember the illustration I told you earlier? The policeman pulls you over. Well, you know what? He may like the way you look and not give you a ticket. 30 minutes later, somebody may do 15 to 35. He don't like the way they look and says, I think I'll write them a ticket. Now, you say, that's not just, that's not fair. And really, it's not. But you know what? God's grace is not offered that way. God's grace is offered on an equal basis. It's all through the blood of His Son. God can justly and righteously forgive you and give His grace to you because of what His Son did on the cross for sin. Do you understand that? That God can justly... It's not just that God, oh, He's got a soft heart, and oh, God just says, I'll overlook your sin because, you know, because I just, you know, I'm full of grace. No. Grace has to have a basis. The basis on which God can freely offer you eternal life and forgiveness of sins, the basis of that is the cross work of His Son. It's what His Son did. Based on what His Son did, dying as a substitute for you, He took your place. He died in your place. And based on what He did for you, God now can offer His grace freely to all men, to everybody. Let me give you the last thing here. And by the way, this is what this is all about. Look over here. See where my highlighter is? That's what this is all about. These people right here want to go and tell people in Togo what I just told you. Wouldn't it be neat if people in Togo, West Africa, could know about the grace that God's offering today? Wouldn't it be great if people in Guyana, in the jungles, right here, did you know there's a people group that they found in the jungles of Guyana that is an unreached people group? Nobody, they'd never even heard of Jesus. Now, He's reached them with the gospel, and they're translating a Bible into their language. Why? So they can tell them about this right here. You see, our job is to get that message of grace out. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Look at the next thing in your handout. What's the third thing on the timeline? Everybody tell me. The ages to come. Can I share something sobering with you? This right here? Everybody say that? What's those two words? Is that going to last forever? When you've got a bill that's late, and they give you a grace period, does there eventually come a time where they want their money? Is there eventually a time when the grace period's over? Yeah. You know what? There's going to come. This world has been promised judgment for their sin. And payday's coming. Okay? It is coming. The bill is going to come due. This grace period is not going to last forever. And when this time of grace ends, in your handout it says, those who accepted God's offer of grace through His Son will be caught up into the heavenlies. The Bible actually uses that term, caught up. All those who accepted the grace of God through His Son, they believed on Jesus, they put their faith, their trust in what Christ did on the cross, then if we go back to the chart again, here's what's going to happen. Okay? Go ahead. There it is. Believers, this grace period will end with Jesus Christ coming in the clouds, and all those who have put their trust in Christ are going to be caught up, the Bible says, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So this grace period is going to end right here with all the believers being caught up. What's going to happen then? Look at Ephesians 2, verse 6. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where have we been made to sit? Tell me. Heavenly places. Look at the next verse. Why? That in the ages to come, there's that future. We're in the but now. But then in the ages to come, God is going to show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know what's going to happen? In your handout it says, we are going to occupy positions in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ, and we will display His love and kindness in the ages to come. Now, before you put up your notes, listen, I'm not done. Listen, you know what's going to happen, and I'm going to bring this screen back up. I'm going to bring the chart up. And I want you to look at this. We're going to finish this off here. Now, in the ages to come, right here, go ahead. In the ages to come, we're going to occupy positions in the heavenly places, okay? And we are going to extend the glory of Jesus Christ into the heavenly places. And we'll talk more about that tonight. But we are actually going to be trophies of His grace. I mean, can't you just see it? The redeemed, those on the earth in the ages to come, they're going to look up as we occupy the heavenly places, and they're going to look up at us and say, wow, pagan, heathen, Gentiles, saved by God's grace. And they're just going to shake their head in wonder and in amazement at that, that God offered this grace period to us. It's just going to amaze them. We're going to be trophies of His grace in the ages to come. He said He's going to display through us His grace and kindness in the ages to come. That's pretty cool. Now, here's the problem, okay? By the way, we'll talk more about this tonight, about when Christ, if you notice, Christ ascended to heaven, He's coming back down to the earth, and He is going to have that kingdom on earth for Israel. They will be a blessing. We'll talk more about that tonight. But here's what I want you to see this morning. You and I, here's why He left us here. Okay, we're right here. Okay, we're right here in the but now period, where God's offering His grace freely to all people. Now, our job, the reason why He left us here on the earth, is so that we can passionately and zealously get this message out to the world. Reconciliation has been made possible through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through His cross work for sin, an atonement's been made. God says, I'm offering the world my grace. But here's the problem. People don't know the message. They haven't heard it. It's kind of like if you were late on an electric bill, and FPL called your house, and this was the ending day. If you didn't pay it today, they're going to cut your lights off. They call your house. They've decided to extend more of a grace period to you. And so they call your house and they talk to your kid because you're gone. They tell your kid, hey, we've decided to extend the grace period for your parents, but they need to call us before the day is over. And if your kid's like mine, he never remembers that. Let me ask you something. If your kid forgets to tell you that message, what are you going to be doing that night? Sitting in the dark. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you this. You're going to be sitting in the dark. Why? Is it because grace wasn't extended? What's the reason why? You didn't hear it. You didn't hear the message of grace. Look over here. There are people all over this world, in Lithuania, Togo, the villages of Mexico, Guyana in the jungles, and in the city of London. There are people all over this world who are sitting in darkness, spiritual darkness. The problem is not with God. God's offering His grace and forgiveness. You know who the problem is with? Us. Why would there be 4,000 people groups with no gospel witness at all? Obviously, we, the messengers, we haven't done a real good job taking this message of grace to the world. That's what missions is. Missions is taking this message of grace and going and telling other people about it. Aren't you glad somebody told you that God was offering you grace? Aren't you glad that someone told you? Aren't you glad the message got to you? You know what? Then you know what? If you are walking in the Spirit and not after your flesh, then you have a desire in your heart for other people to want to hear that message. And that's why we give weekly or monthly to missions. That's why we make it a part of our life, is because we really do care. We realize this grace period could be over at any moment, and we want as many people to hear it as possibly can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your word this morning.